Greetings, my fellow Earthlings. Welcome to Raven's Rabbit Hole. I'm your intrepid host, Raven McMinn, and this is Cosmic Rabbit Hole, a place where we keep an open mind, we question everything, we speak our truth loud and proud, we always think outside of the box, we walk on the wild side, down the roads less traveled, and we always maintain a healthy sense of humor. If you are interested in extraterrestrials or parallel worlds, other dimensions, star seeds, crystals, lost history, metaphysics, quantum science, paranormal phenomena, or if you are a tinfoil hat designer, then you are in the right place, my friend. But all are welcome here. With one foot firmly grounded in Mother Earth and in science and logic, and the other foot out exploring the woos of the woo-woo, each week I try to bring to you topics and guests that will expand your awareness and raise your consciousness, and just give you a better outlook on this crazy world that we live in. It's my sincerest hope that you'll find this next hour either educational, inspiring, interesting, empowering, or at the very least, entertaining. Whatever the case may be, I thank you for being here. And I'd like to invite you to be a part of the show by going to our Facebook chat room. It's a private chat room, and you can communicate with us there. To do so, go to 12radio.com, and on the third on the left-hand side, there's a menu, third one down says chat. Give that a click. If you've never joined the group before, then you'll see another place to click to ask to join the group. And when you do so, my wonderful producer, Jay, who is waiting in the wings there, will see your request and get you approved and let you write in our private Facebook chat room. So just look for my banner that says Raven's Rabbit Hole, and then you're free to comment and post under that. So do come over and join us. And speaking of chat room, I'm going to go over to the chat room here right now and say a quick hello to everyone, if it will let me in to do so, because you know how Facebook is with me, because Facebook hates me. And for the most part, the feeling is mutual. I have a wonderful guest waiting for you here in the wings. I'm going to bring him on here in just a moment. And let's see, I see Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Welcome. How are you this evening? Good to see you here. And okay, this thing's being a little bit slow. And there's Terry Campbell. Hi, Terry. Terry's going to be my guest next week here in the rabbit hole, so do say come back for that. We've got all kinds of good astrology stuff, and I'm going to ask her all about this eclipse we're going to be having. Yeah, have you guys heard about this? It's going to be a good one, a real good one for at least the eastern and middle parts of the United States. It's going to be really awesome and a really, really long one, but we'll talk more about that next week. And there's Renee. Hi, Renee. Welcome. How are you doing this evening? There's my dancing GIF of Wednesday. Thank you so much. And there's Tara. Hi, Tara. Good to see you here. I'll check back here in a little bit, and as people are coming back into the chat room. Okay. So we have a beautiful Taurus moon out there tonight. If you haven't seen it yet, it's absolutely gorgeous, a beautiful crescent. And speaking of the moon, we have the Moon Project will be celebrating the full moon, the storm moon. That will be the 25th of March. And that is also a lunar eclipse. Yeah, lunar eclipse in Libra. So to register for that, go to 12academy.com. We'll talk more about the Moon Project next week. But we got St. Patty's Day coming up this Sunday. Boy, time is flying by, isn't it? Man, it's just going so fast. And we got the spring equinox happening on Tuesday. Wow. I don't remember them being that close together in the past. I don't know what. Is Easter just late this year? I don't know. I'm confused. But anyway, so to all you fellow Irishmen out there, happy St. Patty's Day to all of you. And I'm going to be doing my spring equinox egg balancing trick again this year and creating a video for that for your enjoyment. And hopefully this year, the cats won't knock over my eggs and break them. That was a disaster last year. So I wanted to let you know of some up and coming guests. I mentioned that Terry Campbell will be here next week. And then I've got a real special show for you. I'm teaming up with Oliver again. And we're going to have a 2-hour special on the 27th about UFOs in art right here before Easter. So we're really excited to bring that to you. All kinds of interesting art from the Renaissance and even before the Renaissance to show these UFOs in this. There can't be anything else but UFOs. So we've got some strange art to look over. So really excited and looking forward to presenting all that to you. That will happen on the 27th. And there's a couple things in the news. If you've followed any of the UFO news, I tell you what, I'm fed up with the Pentagon. The Pentagon has now lost every last shred of credibility that they had, and it was minimal at best. This last week, because they came out with a report, and I'm going to post a link for you to read the sadness of this whole thing for yourself. But this report basically is trying to nullify and dismiss all of the progress that has been made towards disclosure. All these hearings, you know, that have been going on up in Congress, all the whistleblowers, everything that has, you know, transpired here this last year. We thought we were so very close. And now, for whatever reason, who knows, they're denying everything. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the New York Post, you know, came out with the Tic Tac video in 2017. And we've had, you know, kind of dripping here, drip there, drip, drip disclosure, but at least we were making some headway, you know. And here with the recent whistleblower David Grosch and Lou Elizondo, basically the Pentagon's denying everything, making them look like delusional liars. They're saying that there has been no that the government does not have an interest in UFOs, and that it finds no evidence of aliens or recovered ET craft. Oh, really? Well, they sure spend an awful lot of money covering this stuff up if there's nothing there to be covered up. Okay. They were basically denying the whole ATIP program, which is what Lou Elizondo was supposedly the head of. I don't know what's going on up there at the Pentagon. Some weird stuff's going down, and God only knows why. They're just trying to say nothing's. There's nothing here to look at, folks. Keep on moving on. So I'm going to post this article for you to read. It's a sad. So this is why I cannot do ufology, because it will make you crazy. It'll just absolutely make you crazy. And it's so riddled and infiltrated with charlatans, outright liars, and disinformation agents that are hired by the CIA to do just that, to confuse everything and confuse everybody. And they do a good job. I got to give them that. They do a good job of convoluting everything. I'm really kind of upset with them. As far as I'm concerned now, the Pentagon is irrelevant. Irrelevant. I'm done with it. This is just the final straw of all this monkeying around back and forth. I'm done with it. And I'm done with the Pentagon. So I don't care what they have to say. I'm not listening to anything they've got to say from now on. I've had it with them. In the meantime, now isn't this kind of interesting? On the heels of all this this ridiculous report from the Pentagon, we have Jaime Maussan, who is the lead UFO investigator out of Mexico, unveiling new alien mummies yesterday in Los Angeles. And that is very, very interesting. They have done DNA testing. They've done x-rays of these things. These are not phony. They're not fake. They're not paper mache, like they tried to say the last ones were. Those were actually real. A paper mache was created after the fact to try to discredit it. You know, this is so crazy. The whole UFO thing is so nutty. You know, other countries have had disclosure. And they're looking at us like, what are those crazy Americans doing? What is going on over there? You know, what is wrong with them? they have accepted the fact that there are a phenomenon years ago, hundreds of years ago, as you'll see in the art that Oliver and I will be presenting here in 2 weeks. I mean, it's just insane. It'll make you insane if you try to keep up on it, for sure. I'm interested to see what my guest has to say about this too. I have returning to the rabbit hole, I have R. Keith Andrews. R. Keith is a paranormal adept. He's a UFO experiencer. He is gifted with the ability to remember most of his past lives. He's also a psychic, and he's helped hundreds and hundreds of clients put their lives back together. He's got a wonderful website, Inner Voice Enterprises. I'll be posting a link in the chat room for that. And so I'd love to join me in welcoming back R. Keith Andrews. Come on in, R. Keith.
How are we doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm still breathing.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
That's an improvement from yesterday.
Oh, really? You weren't breathing yesterday?
I had lungs decided they weren't going to work, but you know, that happens.
Oh my gosh. Well, that sounds pretty serious.
No, that's not half as serious as when the heart stops.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're the only person I know of that's been through, is it 4 or 5 heart attacks now?
I was in the last 2 months.
I know.
I was clinically dead 4 times before I hit 10, 5 times after that somebody other than the doctor restarted my heart, and one we're still questioning.
Oh my God.
That's not, those are dead. Those are heart stop. That's not just a heart attack.
So did you have an experience going down the tunnel of light and all of that?
Oh, I went way beyond the tunnel. I got all the way past that near death thing, right into the full dead and into the other side.
Oh, can you tell us what that was like?
It was enlightening. You know, people that talk about, you know, I keep getting told, oh, heaven and hell are either absolutely there. And I can tell you this because you're going to forget it anyway. You're only trapped in hell until you figure out you're not trapped.
I remember you talking about that once. Mm-hmm.
But hell does exist with all its wonderful hot tubs. Personally, I personally think the hot tubs are way too hot.
They literally have hot tubs?
Well, you guys call it the River Styx.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. So you get to bust out of jail, basically.
You don't bust out. You say, I'm leaving. They go, okay, bye. It's literally that easy. Problem is, you forget that it's that easy when you get down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you're there until you can remember that you don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. Which, that can be a while.
I did a show a couple weeks ago about, have you heard of this thing that's been going around called the Soul Trap?
No. But it is a fascinating concept. I haven't actually looked into it. Of course, this is the first time I've ever heard of anybody trapping a soul.
Supposedly, they created, the reptilians have created a false white light at the time of death, and they are steering people down this fake one into... Hmm?
Did you ask the genius that came up with that whether they wanted a shovel or a backhoe?
I'm just repeating the theory that's out there. There's a lot of
videos. Oh, I understood what you were doing.
And so, yeah, and they trap people in a reincarnation machine that's supposedly located on the dark side of the moon. I know, I hear you laughing. Okay, so it is absurd. Okay. Well, I just wondered, you said you've died so many times, and so I wondered if you have ever seen anything like that or if you've ever heard of anything like that. And
never even
just curious.
Heard tell of it. Nope. I've never heard tell of it, but I can tell you this. Every entity that passes away, every entity that has life, be they human, alien, ancient race, plant, and you know, plant, animal, mineral, etheric, it doesn't matter. Any entity that passes away ends up in the same place. And none of them are trapped, and the reptilians have no interest in catching souls. The reptilians, first of all, we got to realize that there are well over a dozen different reptilian races I've personally dealt with, never mind the fact that they just aren't interested in the soul.
Okay, that's good news. So we have nothing to fear then.
Oh, you've got lots to fear.
Okay, do tell.
Well, you name it, you can share it if you'd like. Reptilians just shouldn't be on high on the list. Although, okay. I will tell you, if you ever get invited to dinner by a tech lack, turn them down. You're the main course.
Oh, no. Really? That's scary. Serious? Okay, that's really scary.
No, I mean, you're usually dead before they eat you. Well, actually, in the tech lack's case, that's not actually entirely true.
Oh, my. Okay. I've gotten totally derailed from where I was going to go with this interview.
It would seem.
We'll just roll with it. We'll just roll with it.
You asked a question. I just give you an answer.
I know. Well, it was like, all of a sudden, I was like, okay, I get sidetracked easy enough, as you can tell. But you were talking about, you know, going all the way through the tunnel of light. And I'm like, you know, fascinated by that. And so I wanted to know what you could tell us about death experience.
The fact of the matter is, when you go there, they did get a couple things. Like the tale of it is right, in as much as when you die, you know, you do go through what amounts to a tunnel of light. You do run into many of the relatives that have gone before. Okay. Like if you lost a loved one, you know, be it a person, a pet, doesn't matter. You do experience you do see your life flash before your eyes. What they don't tell you is you see it flash before your eyes via the way other people saw it. In other words, if you're a bully and you hit people or you beat people up regularly, you're going to feel every single impact simultaneously that you delivered.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that before.
Okay. Yeah. If you spent your life hugging people and being really nice to people, you'll get all that encouragement as you're passing away, which is why some people look like they've been drugged through a knothole backwards, and others look like they just absolutely passed away at peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the places that you've been told, you know, go to hell, you go to heaven, you go and lay down in the coffin for the rest of eternity. All of it is there. Okay. And it's hilarious when you get over there once you're used to it. It's absolutely disconcerting for most people. Because I've watched people, they come over and it's like they stand there in this great big massive gala going, but I thought I was supposed to be in hell. And somebody in the party, probably a whole pile of people, will look at you and go, oh, downstairs on the left. Right? Or, well, where are all the coffins? They're down the hall. Pick one.
Right? So it's whatever you envision.
Whatever you envisioned it
to be like, it will be there. Okay.
It'll be there. But you're only trapped there until you figure out that you don't have to be there.
Did you have a life review? I've heard many.
Everybody does. Mm-hmm. But you have the life review based on how other people saw your treatment. So it's not you go through it and go, hey, gee, I was this king mogul. Okay, let's say you were a millionaire, but you got there by ripping everybody off and by walking on people. Your life review, you're going to feel all of the pain, all of the anguish that you caused, okay, you're going to feel it all at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you get the pleasure, and I'll use that term loosely, of experiencing all of that over and over again until you figure out you don't have to be there. Gotcha. At which point you leave, mm-hmm. Which is where reincarnation comes back into the equation. Average turnaround time for somebody coming into a human body is 70 years. And usually on the other side of the world. You know, where you're far away from the people that you might have run into when you were younger.
Okay. So like being an American, this life, it's likely that I would be in like China or Australia or something like that next one?
In all likelihood, yes. I mean, okay. It is possible you'd still come back as American on the other side of the continent, in all likelihood. Although there are cases that are different, you know, that they come in a lot closer.
Now, I've also heard that you can go to other planets and reincarnate as an ET. Okay, great.
Different planet, different. You can come in as a different race. You can come in as a grass, as a blade of grass if you want. Now, rest assured, you come in as a blade of grass, the odds are it's going to be a lot shorter lifetime than if you come
before. Yeah. Blade of grass, huh? Wow. Never thought about that before. So, what would be the point, though, of coming back as a blade of grass?
Well, that sort of depends on what you were coming in to learn. If you just wanted to come in as a blade of grass to experience it, you know, just so you could say, hey, I was here, there's a reason.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay,
you I know you're going to have a short life compared to humans.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
You know.
There was just a new documentary on Gaia this last week about plants and how they do have consciousness and they have... they're able to see through like a network of, they're not sure exactly, but even though they don't have eyes, but they are able to see somehow.
But they do have eyes. They just don't have eyes built the way humans are.
Okay. Yeah, it's fascinating. And it's made me think about, you know, how guilty am I going to feel the next time I order a salad?
I don't know. How guilty do you feel when you order a chicken burger?
Well, I always pray over my food, though. I always bless my food. And I always ask that thanks be given to the animal who sacrificed his life for my, you know, nutrition and sustenance. So I'll have to do that with my salads, too, then.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. It's just, through David Wilcock, learned of this Dr. Baxter and the experiments that he has made with plants. And he wrote a book, The Secret Life of Plants. And I read that and I was just blown away. And the experiments that he conducted with just telling a plant, you know, I hate you, you're ugly. And he had everyone in the office just talk really mean to this other plant and then really nice to an identical plant, and how one flourished and the other one died within a month. It literally died, even though it had the same amount of sunlight and water.
About 30 years ago, they did the same experiment. I think it was in Pennsylvania. I could be wrong on the state. They took three rooms, all with the same plants, all with the same lighting, the same watering and fertilization process. One room they used as a control room, and they left it alone except for the lighting and the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second one, they had people in there with really, really polite conversations. You know, real polite conversations, real loving conversations, music, dancing, just a real upbeat. The things flourished like there was no tomorrow. The third room, they had exactly the same idea. Screaming at the plants, telling them how useless they were. Okay, the plants died.
Yeah.
About 10 years after that, there was a guy that ran an orchard that did the same thing with three groups of his peach trees. The one that was talked nicely to produced a bumper crop. The one that was sworn at produced nothing. And the mm-hmm. third one produced a standard crop. Mm-hmm. This is just a normal reaction. Just look at the bright side. The plants didn't reach out and slap somebody for swearing at them.
Yeah. Yes, I know somebody that had some tomato plants that wouldn't produce any fruit at all. No tomatoes this last year. And I've told him about this, you know, these energy experiments done on plants. He didn't believe me. I hope he's listening tonight.
Well,
he used to yell at him. And I said, you got to talk nice to them. You can't yell at them and expect them to produce any vegetables for you. You got to be nice to them. Talk nice to them and try that.
I had a client that had a horse that did and that reacted the same way. Not in production. Really, well, he was triple crown capable, but he refused to race until I told the people, eat breakfast with him. That was his problem. Well, I started eating breakfast with him, and he took off like a runaway rocket. Animals, plants, off-worlders, elementals. I mean, the whole idea of talking to the wind, people think you're just completely out of your mind, but the reality is it'll listen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a conscious universe that we live in. And things that we don't normally attribute consciousness to. Yeah, and this is a conditioning from childhood. When we were little, I think that we knew much more about the planet that we live on.
But and here's more the kicker to
open
it.
And
about the time you hit 4 or 5 years old, parents on the whole tend to go, that's a wonderful imagination you've got there, Raven. Now grow up. Like, imagination doesn't work as you get older. Okay, I mean, this is just normal, but you got to remember, this is the way that people have been taught for literally thousands of years. Well, in all fairness, it's been millions, but that's another issue.
Yeah, and they conditioned it right out of them.
Exactly. If, and you know this yourself, it was long ago discovered, if you tell a child they're stupid, they will grow up stupid. Mm-hmm. Okay. Problem is, if you tell a person that they are better than everybody else, they'll believe they're better than everybody else. And you've seen how that results.
Yeah.
You know, this is why I tell people, don't take my word for it. Do your own research. You know, the reality of it is, whether you believe you can do something or you believe you can't, you know, the odds are you're going to prove yourself right. There are limits. Whether you believe in gravity or not, I wouldn't recommend stepping off the balcony. Because somebody probably forgot to tell gravity that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, there was an African chieftain that was so convinced that he was absolutely healed, that his God would protect him. He could not die. Well, long story short, he got a reporter to come out and a military chap with him, and everybody had signed the right paperwork so nobody was going to get sued. And he stood there, you know, he put his hands on his hips and he told the guy, okay, my God's protecting me, shoot me. They buried him. Something about nobody told the bullet that it wasn't going to kill him. You know, this is something we have to realize. Gosh. Much of what people have been told has been completely butchered. But I did get a kick out of the fact, and I always get a kick out of it when people say, oh, the government's not telling us what's going on. Well, the governments around the world for thousands of years haven't told people what's going on. Why would it be any different now? I mean, realistically.
Because knowledge is power. And that's why we have all these top secret this, that, and whatever. And, you know, by keeping us ignorant and in fear, we're easier to control.
That indicates that you're going to buy into the ignorance and the fear. Let me ask you this. You're waiting for full disclosure. You yourself, do you require disclosure from a governmental body?
No.
Or do you trust your own instincts? That you
I trust my own instincts and my own eyes and my own experience. You know, I do. And so I don't need it. I know there are a lot of people that do, though.
I find fascinating.
I do too. I do too, especially the government's really just lost so much credibility in the last several years that, especially the last. I mean, it's been losing credibility for a while, but
who lost credibility?
The government. So why would we need them really for disclosure? I don't need it for disclosure. Disclosure is happening every day. You can go out to East City Ranch in Washington and see the ships every single night at 10 o'clock.
I mean, maybe I'm missing something here, but I lost faith in government disclosure decades ago.
Yeah. Well, I did too, essentially, but after my own personal experiences, I no longer needed that.
Kind of throws disclosure out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And yet, the unfortunate part is so many people in the UFO community, when you talk to them and you try and tell them, I think I had an experience, the greater majority of the people in the UFO community will tell you you're making it up to get attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's no sympathy there. And you would think there'd be some camaraderie.
Oh, I came to the conclusion that's overrated, or rather overstated.
Yeah.
I do believe that there should be some camaraderie, some support. If you're going to say you work in that, you know, what's happening is much like somebody from the government says, I'm with the government, I'm here to help. This usually brings a bit of concern to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So did you hear about this Pentagon report that I was talking about in the first?
I heard what you said about it.
It is just absurd. It is just totally trying to trash everything that's been done in the last 2 years.
But you make especially it sound recently. Like a shock. You do realize what would happen if they came out and said it was real.
Well, the military has. I mean, they showed these, you know, videos. The TikTok video was one of the famous ones. And they had another one, and there's videos every single day. There's a whole new series of videos that are on Coast to Coast websites that you can go see.
I know that. You know that. I'm still trying to remember who it was that actually built the Tic Tacs. I've got it somewhere in my notes, but I'm going through like 2 inches of loose leaf paper.
I heard that those Tic Tac video were ours, but there are they have had investigations where there were like 22 cases that they could not debunk that are on record. I mean, they're just, I don't know what are they up to and what do they seek to prove by trying to just discredit everything.
Just an odd question. Who being they?
The Pentagon.
Oh, that's the easy part. And you've already nailed it down. If we keep you in fear, you'll do what we tell you, and you'll buy whatever other shovel we're going to use.
Yeah, and this is the same organization that can't find, I can't remember the number now, some $1 trillion worth of funds. And yet, I'm like, wait a minute. Trillion with a T. Okay, you guys have misplaced this funding. You can't account for it. This was a story I did about 4 or 5 months ago, and like nobody got fired over that. I'm like, you guys have to have the most retarded accountants in the country. Then, if you can't find a couple $1 trillion, what is that all about?
You do realize that cream is not the only thing that floats to the top, right?
Yes.
Just
I I'm just so frustrated. I'm just so frustrated when this stuff comes out. I'm just like, why do even people pay attention to it? Really? I mean, it's aggravating. It really just gets in my craw.
This is why I quit watching the news.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I've seen accident reports where I personally was there and witnessed the accident. The only thing they got right was the location.
Wow. Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, the government is not the big problem.
What is?
You're going to love me for this one. Or somebody in your show in the audience is going to have an absolute field day with it. People are the problem.
Well, yeah.
Well, the thing is, I used to believe, much like most people, that the government and the major media moguls were the company, were why there was so much misinformation. Until social media hit the deck.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I am still a firm believer that 90-95% of the population are decent people trying to do the right thing, trying to help each other. Okay, meaning about 5-10% are self-serving. Problem. This means that when 90% of the junk that's going, that's being posted and reposted and propagated all over the world is being done over that 5-10% of negative stuff, ignoring the 90-95% of good things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not being done by the major media. That's being done by the individual. You know, when you start looking, like, I love it when people go, oh, the reptilians are up to this. It's a cute thought. Except when you take the Srazazians, which are a 7.5-8.5-foot reptile, and we call them reptilian because they look like lizards on Earth. Mm-hmm. They aren't lizards on Earth. Well, they are on Earth, but they're not lizards. You know, you look at them, they have a very different mindset from the Teklek, which are a 3.5-4.5-foot tall raptor-like reptile. Or the Zotar, which are a 6-inch reptile. These guys do not have the same mindsets.
Yeah, are they descendants of the dinosaurs, or are they related to the dinosaurs at all?
In some cases. The Chitawari, which are actually they're an ancient race that evolved on Earth. Okay, I've got to call up another, I'm working on volume 2 of Races of the Worlds. Okay, let's see if I can pull up volume 2, because there are 6 or 7 that actually evolved from actual dinosaurs.
Okay.
But they're in my other book, and my other book is not even close to being in print.
Okay.
I am just going to it online here on my computer.
I've got another off the wall question for you about the ETs. So do all of them have their own religion, or do they believe in the creator of the universe, what we would call God? What is their belief structure like? Do you know?
That is a very wide ranging question. Of course, can't find the book I was looking for, but that's my filing system. That being said, what you gotta realize is that when you're looking at the different races, you've got some that believe in a pantheon of God, some that believe in a single God, which sometimes they call it the Great Creator, sometimes they call it the Great Drake. Many of the reptilians, other reptilian-like races, refer to it as the Great Drake.
Okay.
Okay. But it is if you take a look at every sentient race that I'm aware of, okay, has a belief in some all-seeing or all-making, you know, God, if you will. Some call it God, but most don't. Mm-hmm. Most call it by a different name. The Great Creator, the Prime Source.
Prime Creator, Source, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
I've seen
There's
those
a lot things. Of different names for it.
And so do they have entities like that they would consider demons and angels?
Well, in a manner of speaking, see, demons are a construct. Daemons are a race. Do daemons have species or have entities that they fear? Absolutely. You know, every one of them have their childhood, you know, their childhood. They're very similar to humans with the breadth of their belief structures. You know, every one of them do.
And so do they have like the same sort of like good and evil, like this cosmic tug of war thing going on like we do?
Absolutely. Do understand, they are still part of the third dimension. Anything available that is accessible in this world by sensory acquisition of any form, and I get in trouble for this one, is all third dimensional. Some of it vibrates so fast you can't see it. Okay, but they all have belief structures. They've got the fight between good and evil. They've got the whole concept of creation. It all exists. Different names, different ra you know, different constructs, as it were. But the principle is still the same.
So do they believe in like an angelic type being that is all good and helpful and so forth, that's close to the creator that they can call
Well,
on in times of need?
this is the funny part. Okay, whatever name they use, and you're going to love this one, it's going to cause all kinds of conflict for you. Whatever name they use, okay, there is one that created everything here. They are all known by different names, absolutely. But here's the kicker. The one that created it all created the good, the evil, and the neutral. And then did the really wonderful thing and went, you now have free will and free choice. What you don't have is freedom from consequence.
Right.
You know, that's where things get a little screwy.
Right. You're responsible for everything you do. And that's where
Absolutely.
karma comes in. Right. And so they
If you
also
took a
have
while to
karma,
figure it
right?
out. Oh, karma applies to everybody. What you
Yeah.
call God is also subject to karma.
Okay. Yeah. So do we, is this universe a matrix? Do we live in a matrix? I hear this often and I see all kinds of.
You mean as in a construct?
Yeah.
Like you're talking Keanu Reeves Matrix.
Yeah, something like that.
Not even remote, well, remotely close, okay. No. We live in a life, we have a life of our own. It's great to point the finger and say it's all being orchestrated by somebody else. It was a wonderful story. I love the Matrix movies. But they hold about as much water as a bucket with a hole in both ends.
See, people say that the like the Mandela effect, and they have these videos where like birds have been like frozen in air for a few seconds, not moving, that there's a glitch in the matrix they talk about. These weird things caught on videotape and on camera phones and things like that, that there's a that it's all some type of a mathematical like a
Well, you
simulated
think it, there's a very simple explanation for it, but I can't prove any of it. But let me put it to you this way. The theory of relativity that we were given, that Einstein worked out, is not the theory of relativity that Einstein worked out. It's a mathematical configuration that works. But are we in a matrix? Not even remotely close. Well, I mean, Pluto is remotely close to Kelowna, which is where I am. Okay, but we are not in a construct by some alien race that's raising us and using us for power. Not happening.
Okay, good.
Okay, can I prove it? Not a prayer.
I'll take your word for it. That's a relief. Some of this stuff can get pretty crazy, and because of the fact that it's not provable either way, it can really leave you, well, that's why I don't sleep much.
Yeah, I wish I had a reason like that to not sleep much. I just don't sleep much.
I'm up going down rabbit, literally rabbit hole. You see, my computer will have like 12 different windows open, and I'm going back and forth between stuff trying to sort stuff out, and it can get pretty heady and just downright confusing. So you just got to walk away from it. Just walk away. Go make a pot of coffee. Just walk away because it's just too much.
Yeah, you know, I've come to understand one little detail. I cannot prove it. I am no videographer, so there's no way I can look at a video and say, that's real. That hasn't been doctored. What I can tell you is if what I'm seeing on the video is at least representative of what I know to be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You take a look at the Strazazians, the Camalians, and the Tormenon, they are all descended from the Sarkon.
Okay.
The rest of the reptilian races are not related to each other. Wow. They're not even from the same sectors.
Okay.
But like I said, I call them reptilian because they look like reptiles on Earth. They are not reptilian by nature.
Got it. Okay. Well, we've got 5 minutes left, and I wanted to talk about elementals a little bit. So with spring coming up, and of course, the leprechaun and everything being such the icon of St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up this Sunday. And I wanted to, can you summarize for us in less than 5 minutes what elementals are? And if they're real?
Elementals are a living amalgamation of various different elements. Okay, the Halleck, for instance, are what you would know as a fire elemental. They are absolutely committed to consuming whatever is available. Okay, you do have the Corridon, that's your earth elementals. They're the ones that will trigger an earthquake just because they're in a bay or they're having troubles. Okay.
Wow. Hmm.
The fact of the matter is, all water is not a water elemental. Okay, but water elementals are sentient water, for lack of a better way of putting it. If you ever watched the movie The Abyss, okay, they show you the way a water elemental works.
Okay, I've never seen The Abyss, so I can't watch scary movies very well.
It's not scary, and well, I don't know if it's scary. It's intriguing.
Okay.
How
affected are they by human behavior?
Well, have you ever noticed that when you're outside and it's raining, you get wet?
Yeah, I had that happen just tonight.
Does screaming at the water do anything to stop it?
No.
That's pretty much the effect.
Are there some magicians, though, that, like Merlin and so forth, that claim being able to have control over the elements? Is any of that true?
Only in a manner of speaking. He didn't actually control it. He figured out how to communicate with it.
Ah, okay. So
he had cooperative effort with them.
Okay. So it is possible.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's not control.
Okay. In cooperation, yeah. I should say then, not control. Yeah. In cooperation with, okay.
And there are some what you would call mages or magicians that could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are some that can get plants to grow like there's no tomorrow. There are people that can communicate very clearly with animals.
Right.
These are all real abilities. And quite seriously, every one of your listeners can do the same thing. They just don't believe they can and have never been shown otherwise. In fact, in many cases, they've been told they couldn't.
Aha. So what are leprechauns?
The Ituari are, you would call them fae, but they are very real. They're only foot and a half tall, and they do tend to stay in Ireland. You don't find many of the Ituari outside of Ireland. Why? I'm guessing because they like living there.
Mm-hmm. So are they like a fourth dimensional and a third dimensional?
Not. Everything that is available on this planet that you can sense in any fashion at all is third dimensional. Some of them have figured out how to vibrate fast enough to appear to vanish. Okay, but no, they are third dimensional.
And they know how to raise and lower their vibration to be able to be seen or unseen.
Exactly. There are humans that can do the same thing.
Right. That's what what I've read the Sasquatch does. Raises and lowers his vibration. Agree with. Yeah.
Plus, of course, phenomenal camouflage capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
these Wari, are very much in that line of thinking, as are the Fairy.
Okay. Great.
They too have the ability to vanish out of sight. Of course, when you're only 3 inches tall, it's really not that hard to disappear.
It's not that hard to do. Right? Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. Well, we just got like 1 minute left, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to let the audience know how to get a hold of you if they'd like to work with you. I'll post your links here in the chat room for them.
That's the easiest way to track me down, because anyone on my YouTube channel, there is a whole list of ways of getting a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the website you want to put out, though, is rkeithandrews.com.
Okay. All right.
Because that's the one that's got the list of all my books.
Yes. I forgot to mention that you were an author at the beginning when I kind of did your little bio there. I forgot about author. I'm so sorry about that. Yes, you've got series of books. And your YouTube channel. I'm going to post the link to that also. And every day but Thursday, you're on the air from 6:30 my time, but I think you run Pacific time, right?
I run Pacific time, 4:30 to 6:30 Pacific.
4:30 to 6:30. Yeah, okay. And so you can catch him every day but Thursday.
Yeah, pretty much, unless I end up having a heart attack or something. Then I get
don't do that again. You scared us. You scare us when you do that. Well, thank you so much for making time to come back down here in the rabbit hole with me. I've so enjoyed our conversation. And there's one quick question from the chat room from Cindy. Cindy wanted to know, do you have to reincarnate?
No.
There's your answer.
That was not very short answer.
That's great. Wonderful. Thanks so much. Everybody sit tight. Stay tuned for Jay and Alan. They're coming up next. And remember that you're stardust and to shine your light out there into that crazy world, because that crazy world needs your light. Okay. So see you next week with Terry Campbell here. And you've been listening to Raven's Rabbit Hole on 12radio.com, where we're changing the way you listen to a changing world. Good night, everybody. Love you. Bye.